Okay, so the personality I want to discuss tonight is someone also, probably someone who doesn't fit into any box, which seems to be the theme so far that we've been, the personalities we've been discussing, people that you can't really, as much as we try to put people into different boxes, it doesn't really work. Great people, they seem to go beyond that. You're not able to stick them into different boxes, and tonight is no exception. I want to discuss Rav Menachem Kasher. Rav Menachem Kasher was a genius of the previous generation, and his story was as follows. He was born in 1895, he died in 1983, he was born in Poland. He was born a Ger Chassid. He died a Ger Chassid also, but probably doesn't fit into the box of Ger Chassid either, as we will see. He was a genius. He was known to be a genius from a young age. His main Rebbe at the young age was his father in Poland, in Warsaw, where he lived. But he became very close with a lot of different Talmidei Chachamim, famous Talmidei Chachamim that we've all heard of. He became at a young age of 19, he became the mouthpiece of Degel HaTorah. Degel HaTorah was the Torah journal given out by Agudas Yisrael. So he was almost the editor of the Torah journal of Agudas Yisrael at the age of 19, which is a tremendous feat. And he was clearly a clear genius. At a very young age, in his young 20s, he was asked by the Ger Rebbe to come to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to establish the Sfas Emes Yeshiva, and there he became Rosh Yeshiva at a very young age. At a young age, in his early 20s, he became a Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim in the Gera Yeshiva. And in many different accomplishments, again, unique accomplishments. He was very creative, and he brought his creativity not only to the world of scholarship, not only to the world of Torah, but also to Klal Yisrael in general. For instance, we already mentioned he was the editor of Degel HaTorah, but he founded a Torah journal called Noam, a very famous Torah journal. He was the founding editor of that journal, and a journal which, again, became very prestigious in Klal Yisrael. But he was also had an aspect of I would call it, for lack of a better word, messianism. Not messianism in the way that he believed that Mashiach had come, but he had certainly believed that the Medinas Yisrael, and this was the Chiddush obviously for a Ger Chassid, that Medinas Yisrael and Klal Yisrael returning back to Eretz Yisrael was the beginning of a process of the ultimate Geula, and he wasn't ashamed to speak about that and to write about that, and that's ultimately probably why he's not as famous as someone on his caliber should have been. So for instance, he wrote a sefer, part of which we will read tonight, called HaTekufa HaGedola. HaTekufa HaGedola was a sefer discussing how he viewed what was going on in his day with the Hakamas and Medina, everything, as to be part of the process of the Gula. And he goes into detail. He didn't just say, this is the Schat of the Gula. He goes into detail which parts of Chazal are referring to which aspects in history, what exactly is going on. At the end of HaTekufa HaGedola, he publishes a sefer called Kol HaTor. Kol HaTor, based after the pasuk in Yeshaya, Kol HaTor Nishma Be'atzeinu, Kol HaTor Nishma Be'atzeinu, the dove, the voice of the dove is heard about in our land. This was a manuscript which he claimed could go back to the Vilna Gaon, a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, teaching Torah from the Vilna Gaon itself, also predicting a lot of the things which were going on at the time. And this made a tremendous rash at the time when he published it. Obviously, many people said, oh my gosh, look at the Vilna Gaon, look what he predicted. Other people said, it's a farce, the Vilna Gaon never wrote such a thing. He comes up with this manuscript all of a sudden, it's not true. So that created a big rash. But that just shows what he viewed, again, like we were talking about with Rav Kook. He viewed his role and the Tkufa, the time period's role, in the redemption to be very significant. And for instance, he paskin that we should be drinking now a fifth kos. Beginning with the Hakamas of Medina, he decided that a fifth kos was necessary because we already began the Schat Degula. So that's a tremendous chiddush. He had tremendous chidushim in halacha. Again, his genius was able to back it up. But that's the kind of person, the creativity that he brought to both psak and leadership in Klal Yisrael. For instance, he was one of the major poskim, probably the greatest pasuk to oppose Rav Moshe in terms of establishing an Erev in Manhattan. He wrote a big tshuva saying that you could establish an Erev in Manhattan. So he was a really creative and he was a trailblazer. He was not afraid to go against the tide. But perhaps his greatest, perhaps his greatest work is a work called Torah Shlema. Torah Shlema is simply unbelievable. His goal in Torah Shlema was as follows. To combine the Torah Shebal Peh, create a synthesis between Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebichsav. And what he observed is that often there seems to be this separation, distance between Torah Shebichsav. We read Torah Shebichsav and the Psukim, and then we read the Gemara, and it seems to be two totally different religions, and somehow we know they both exist. He wanted to bring both of them together. So what he does is, on every Pasuk in Chumash, he brings every one of the Mamari Chazal. That means the Gemara Bavli, the Yerushalmi, every single Medrash, every Medrash that he could find, many Midrashim which had not been published yet, he only found as manuscripts, and he brings each Medrash, and with their differences, obviously, and he brings a very, very extensive Perish on the bottom of all the Midrashim. A tremendous work. He wasn't able to finish it by the end of his life. He was in the middle, but this is volumes and volumes called Torah Shleiman. His goal, as he says over here, is Hamatara she'etzavti li b'chibur Torah Shebal Peh l'Torah Shebichsav. I want to combine the Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebichsav so a person should be able to see where this is coming. Very similar to what the Vilna Gaon was trying to accomplish. The Vilna Gaon looked at the Shulchan Aruch. He says, I want you to be able to bring it back to the Gemara. That's why he wrote his notes on the side, bringing everything, bringing the source for everything. Ultimately, everything has to be able to go back to a Pasuk in Chumash. And that's what he was trying to accomplish here. Le'esof u'lekabetz, to gather and collect, as kol ma shenemar b'chol hasfarim hamiyuchasim l'chazal. Everything that was said about Chazal, about this Pasuk, is brought in Torah Shleiman. It's a tremendous resource. And to think that he wrote this before computers is simply mind-boggling. Again, anything that he wrote on is a tremendous resource. Any time a person is going to speak about or wants to investigate a certain pasuk in Torah, you could get anything Chazal said on it right over there, and he comments and tells you the differences between the nuances and the differences between Chazal. It's a really, really a tremendous work, and this is what his life's goal was. One of his major goals in life. What I learned through in this past week is that this is not something where he just simply started later in life. He had this dream already as a teenager. That's what he writes. He writes that already as a teenager back in Poland, he said that I need to accomplish such a thing, and he set out to do it, and he had a team of people working with him, but it was a tremendous, what he accomplished is a tremendous feat, and then the family tried to continue it, but I don't know if they are still working on it. It's going much slower, but what we have from him, again, is an invaluable resource. And if you look at the haskamas that he has on this Sefer Torah Shleima, you also see the gamut across the spectrum, which is something nice to see. You see the first haskamah is from Rav Kook, he has a haskamah from the Ger Rebbe, he has a haskamah from Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap, he has a haskamah from really everyone across the spectrum, just showing that he was a person above any one of these categories. So what I wanted to discuss tonight, in part of the Hatkufa HaGedola, He wrote a tremendous amount. He was tremendously prolific. Just to give you an example, he wrote a whole sefer, he wrote a whole sefer on the international dateline. He wrote a whole sefer on the halachas of someone in the moon, because it was the time when they had first gone to the moon. So he said, okay, who knows, maybe many people are going to start going to the moon. We have to write a halacha sefer on all the halachas of what happens, how do you live on the moon. So again, tremendously creative. So his Hatkufa Gedola wasn't simply to show that what we were living through were messianic times. His Kufa Gedola was to set up the halachas, part of like the halachas of what the Medina is going to be. So one of the halachas, probably a detail in the Sefer, but since it's in Yoni Diyomo, this is the one we'll discuss, is the halacha of Neiros Chanukah. Perhaps we know, as we will discuss in great detail in a moment, we know that at a certain point, originally the mitzvah of Chanukah was to light outside. At a certain point, it was brought back into the house. Again, we assume that ultimately it would be returned back to its original state. Has that time come when we start lighting outside again? So that's a very appropriate topic to be discussing in Hatukufa Gedola, and that's something I wanted to discuss tonight. So let's begin the conversation of Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah Bachutz. I know, that's a good question. One other thing I wanted to write about Rav Kasher, also something which to me was fascinating, because again, he dabbled in all areas. A man above any sort of borders, restraints, and a person who you can't really pin down. He was a person who dabbled in the academic world, he dabbled in the Hasidic world, he dabbled in the yeshivish world. So he was a man accepted by all, or perhaps not accepted by any, but a person who's hard to understand. So when I saw this quote from his grandson, to me, it was very telling. He had written a sefer, for instance, when some of the academic scholarship had come out about the authenticity of the Zohar. So Kasher was the one who wrote the attack on the author. The people had come back and said, when was the Zohar really created? When was the Zohar really written? Is it from Yeshiva Yochai? So who marshaled all the evidence? Who brought the attack back? That, of course, the Zohar is from Yeshiva Yochai. That was Rav Kasher. He was able, a Ger HaChassid, who was able to dabble in that world as well. So what was his real identity? So his grandson writes as follows. Pam boy alai rector shall achas university. One of the universities came to his grandson, already when he's an older man, and he wanted to bestow some sort of title onto Rav Kasher. He had gotten many degrees, so they wanted to give him another kavod, another, and honor him to give him with another one of these degrees. So he goes to his grandfather and he says, "Are you willing to take to accept this kavod?" So his grandfather responds to him as follows: "Ani hechlatati shemigil shivim umala, from the age 70 and above, ani lo rotze yoser shum giloy shel kavod. I'm not willing to take any expression of extra respect. I've done everything in my life that, for whatever reason, I did these things until now. I thought it was important. From the age 70 and on, all I am doing is sitting and learning and writing my svarim. I'm not going to take any extra kavod." So what his grandson is trying to show from here is that he was a person of many different hats, that wore many different hats, but his real mehus, his real definition was the Rav Kasher that we see in his svarim, the Rav Kasher that we learn in the base measure. So let's learn a little bit of the tshuva of Rav Kasher. So this, again, we're taking a sugya which is a very broad sugya, and we're going to look through it his lens. So where does the sugya begin? Let's begin with the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos and Daf Chav Aleph on the base. Number one, Tana Rabbana, Ner Chanukah, says the Gemara, Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah la'anicha al Pesach beisel mibachutz. The mitzvah, again, what does this mean, mitzvah? We'll have to discuss it, but take note. Mitzvah la'anicha al Pesach beisel mibachutz. The mitzvah is to put the Ner Chanukah outside of the house, Pesach beisel mibachutz, from outside. Im ha'yadar bali, if you live on the second floor, manicha b'chalon hasmucha l'rishus harabim, then you put it in the window facing the rishus harabim. Then, says the Gemara, uvishas ha'sakana, and during the time of Sakana, which we'll have to define, Menicha al Shulchano, then you bring it into the home, you put it on the table, Vidayo, and that's good enough. Amar Rava says, Rava Tzarech Ner Acheres Lehishtameish La'ora. Once you're bringing the Ner Chanukah inside, so you're not allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah, right? You're not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah to read. That's what we say in Aneris Halada, they're Kodeshen. So therefore, once you're bringing it inside, then you have to, says Rav, you have to light a different candle in order to do all your work, because you can't benefit from the Ner Chanukah. When it was outside, we didn't have to be nervous about benefiting from it. Now you brought it inside, so you have to light another Chanukah. But we see the mitzvah, the Iker mitzvah is Beiso Mibachutz, B'shasa Sakana Menicha Al Shulchana V'dayo. Says Rashi, what is this Sakana that we're talking about? So, says Rashi, Shahaya number two. Shahaya lahem liparsim chog biyom edom shelo yaviru ner ela bebeis avodah zara shelahem kidamrina begin. Says Rashi, what is this sakana we're talking about over here? Not necessarily that they said anyone who keeps the mitzvah of Chanukah is going to be killed, but the sakana over here is that there was a rule that the only candle that's allowed to be lit on this specific day, on their holiday, which happened to overlap with Chanukah, were their religious lights, their religious candles. If that's the case, you're not allowed to light Ner Chanukah. So if they would walk by and they would see that the Jews are lighting Ner Chanukah, they'd extinguish all of them. Therefore, we say, put it on the shulchan, put it inside, they won't see it, vidayo, and that's enough. According to Rashi, the sakon over here is that we're concerned that they are going to extinguish it because, only because of religious reason, you're only allowed to light the candles which were for their religion. But Tosis brings, later Masechet Shabbos brings another shita. Says Tosis, Inami, Omeri, Deshasa Sakona Dilael, Lav Sakonas Chaverim Ka'omer, El Sakonas Gezera Shegozu Shaloyla Hadak Ner Chanukah. It's the regular old Sakona that Jews are so used to for generations. What Sakona means, if you do, if you keep the mitzvahs, you keep the Torah, off with your head. It's it. You're going to be killed. So that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, b'shas ha-sakana, at a time when you are going to be killed, when your life is in danger for keeping Hanukkah, so then don't do it outside. Don't be such a hero. Don't be such a... don't be so brazen to do it outside. Bring it inside. Do it inside. Put it on Shulchan. So two different shitas. What does it mean, b'shas ha-sakana, during Hanukkah? Just to spell it out, look at the Ritva. The Ritva says as follows. U'b'shas ha-sakana menicha al shulchana. Mar Malkum number 4. We'll come back to this Ritva at the end of the shir, but for now, let's just see what he says. Perish. Lo sov davra sakavanas nefashas. We're not talking about sakanas nefashas. Like the way we understood Rashi, we're not talking about a case where he's going to be killed necessarily. Dim kem pshita. Then it's obvious you don't keep the mitzvah, like we say by all other mitzvahs. Ela afinu sakanas tsar o eva. Just they're simply not going to like us. They don't like when we boast, when we show our religious observance out in public. They don't like that. So why bring on anti-Semitism? Surely doing our religion in public is going to bring about anti-Semitism. Sakanas tsar, sakanas eva. That alone is a reason to bring the Chanukah licht inside, not to do it outside. Kimo b'tzarfas, like we see in France. V'lechein perish Rashi zal kan. Dahayinu mipnei ha-parsim, shalo hayu menichin lahadlik ner b'shem bayis, b'yom yadua shal edam. Not necessarily that you're going to be killed, but it will lead to some sort of animosity, some sort of anti-Semitism. Then the Ritva takes it the next step. Look at the last line. Ulefichach, says the Ritva, haya omer mori haravzal, shekishenoshev ruach, she'ef shelahadlika. If it's very windy outside, and therefore, because of the weather, you can't light outside, because the flame is going to go out. Lu'ef shelahadlika b'chutz, madlika b'fnim b'beiso. Then you can light it inside. So we already see, what's the difference in how you understand Shas HaSakana? Very big difference. If Shas HaSakana, it means off with your head, so then nothing short of being killed do we see a heter to light outside. But once we go like the Ritva, that's Shas HaSakana and Rashi, Shas HaSakana doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be killed for it. All Shas HaSakana means is that it's going to lead to something negative. It's going to lead to animosity from the non-Jews. It's going to lead to anti-Semitism. Or perhaps you can't light outside simply because it's going to go out. The weather doesn't allow for you to light outside. So then you're allowed to come in. Shas HaSakana doesn't mean a real danger. It just means that for whatever reason, lighting outside is not feasible anymore. Okay, so that's the Gemara. That's the Rishonah. We know that most of us now, most of the world now, lights inside. And the question obviously is, why are we lighting outside? If the mitzvah is lahanicha mibachot, to leave it outside mipesach beiso mibachot, and they only changed it because of Shas HaSakana, so we have to evaluate, are we still in this Shas HaSakana? And if we're not in this Shas HaSakana, why are we still lighting indoors? Perhaps we should be lighting outdoors. And that's the question the Or Zeruah already poses. Now you see two things from the Or Zeruah. You see his question, why we're lighting outside, but what you also see is that in his time, it was the minhag still to be lighting inside. So we see what the custom was, and then we see his critique of the custom. Look, take a look at the Or Zeruah, Mar Malkum number 5. Tan Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah mitzvah, Anicha Pesach Beisam, Yibachutz, Mishum Pirsume Nisa, Velo Berishus HaRabim, Ela Bechatzeru Shevateyan, Hayu Psuchan Lechatzer, Vim Hayadar Be'aliyah, like the Gemara says, if you live on the second floor, She'ein Lo Malkum Bechatzel, Anicha Sham, Anicha Mibafnim, you put inside, Keneged Chalon, against the window. U'Beshas HaSakana, Shehoyalem Leparsim, Chok B'yom, Edom, Shelo Yaviru Ner El Beis Avod Ezarishlam, Anicha Al Shulchan Adai, Shas HaSakana, you put it on the table, and that's good enough. V'yesh Mifarshim, the Or Zeruah brings the other sheet up. Maybe, what does Shas HaSakana mean? Shas HaSakana, She'gozru Shelo Lahadlik Nero Shel Chanukah, that they were gozer, you can't light Ner Chanukah. If you light Ner Chanukah, you're going to be killed. V'ha'inna, says the Or Zeruah, the first one to raise this question. V'ha'inna, the lek a sakana, that nowadays it's no longer a sakana. Lo yadana my taima ain anu madlikin bechatzera, says the Or Zeruah. We have to reevaluate the situation. The whole reason we're lighting inside nowadays, like the Gemara says, is Shas HaSakana. Or Zeruah says we're not in the Shas HaSakana anymore. Especially if you say that Shas HaSakana means a time when the goyim said it's going to be punishable. Lighting Neres Chanukah is punishable by death. We're not living at that tkufa anymore. So says Or Zeruah, why are we not lighting outside? Or Zeruah leaves it as an open question.
Does that mean you don't? There's no mitzvah for that? Or is it lechatchila?
That's going to be the question we're going to have to ask. For right now, this is all the orders Ruah says. We'll get to that question. It depends how you understand the Gemara. Very good. We have to go back to that. So let's take a look at the Itter. In Itter, another one of the Rishonim, which codified the Hilachos, the Minhage Ashkenaz, he says the same thing as the orders of Ruah, but adds a few more words, which many have grasped onto. Says the Sefer Itter, Marmokon number 6, Tan Rabbana, Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah, Nicho, Pesach, Besa. Mibachot, outside Vim Daibar Aliyah, if you're in the second floor, Menichu Bachalai, like we saw, Hasmuch Lujus Rabban, put it in the window. Ubishas Hasakonda, Manicha Al Shulchan of Idai. Shas Hasakonda, you put it on the table inside, it's good enough. The Acher Shenogu Al Hasakonda, Nogu. So it says the Itter, the Acher Shenogu Al Hasakonda, Nogu. Many Achorim say what the Itter is telling us is he is validating our Minog. Once we change the Minog, and we change it because of Shas HaSakana, so the Minog stays the same, Ad Bias Gol Tzedek, until we're ultimately redeemed, until the Beis HaMikdash is built again. We went into Golus, we had to change it because our lives were at stake, but once we change the Minog because of Shas HaSakana, we always maintain that Minog. Now why that is true, so we'll see different explanations. Either because until the ultimate Geula, we're always concerned that that Shas HaSakana will come back. So why go back and forth? Why keep going back and forth? If Shas HaSakana, we go back and forth. So instead of going back and forth until the ultimate Geula, we're going to maintain the status of Shas HaSakana. That's what seems the Itter seems to be saying. Ve'achshav shenogu nogu. Once we're noyeg this, this is the minog. The first answer we seem to have from the Itter is why we are still lighting inside is that when they changed the minog, they didn't say simply for our time. They said from here on until the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So that seems to be the Itter Shita. But how do we paskin? Do we paskin like the Itter? Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, Marmokum number 7. Shulchan Aruch, Ner Chanukah Sifei, Ner Chanukah Menichah Pesach Asamu Cheshos HaRabim B'Yachutz. Like we would expect from the Gemara. Im Abayis, Pasuel Cheshos HaRabim Menichah Pesach, you put it by the door. Vim Yesh Chotz Lifnei Abayis, Menichah Pesach Chotz, you put it outside by the courtyard. Vim Hayadar Ba'aliyah, if you live on the second floor, Shein Lo Pesach Pasuel Cheshos HaRabim Menichah Bechalo, you put it in the window. Hasamu Cheshos HaRabim, Ubishas HaSakona, She'eno Rashai L'kayim HaMitzvah. Again, the Shulchan Aruch is very clear. Shas HaSakana, She'eno Rashai L'kayim HaMitzvah. We are simply not allowed to accomplish the mitzvah. No other reason. That's when Manichu Al Shulchano V'dayah. So how do we paskin? We seem to paskin. How do we know what to do? We always look at the Shulchan Aruch. So why over here? We should look at the Shulchan Aruch. It says, if it's Shas HaSakana, the government has not allowed you to light Ner Chanukah, then you'll have to do it inside. Otherwise, we should all be lighting outside. So what's the pshat? Why are we lighting? Why is Minhag Yisrael in most areas? We'll get to Eretz Yisrael perhaps a little bit later, but for sure most in all of Golis, and even until recently, probably most of Eretz Yisrael, the Minhag was to light inside still. What? The Shulchan Aruch says, only Shas HaSakana. Why are we lighting inside? We should light outside.
Is it bracha? What's inside? If you're in Sakana?
Yeah, the question, they would say, that people that light outside would tell you, how are you lighting it with the bracha? Bracha, it's not the mitzvah anymore. The mitzvah is to light outside. You only have a right to light inside when Shas HaSakana. So,
then you wouldn't do a bracha.
Where?
Inside.
If you light outside with the bracha, then inside you don't do the bracha. Right. Okay. So, the first explanation of why even nowadays, after we paskin that it's only Shas HaSakana, we're still lighting inside, comes from the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan I didn't have on the computer, so I brought for you tshuva from Dayan Weiss, Minchas Yitzchak, who quotes the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan says as follows. Take a look at Marmokum number 8. V'im ken, shuv koshe, amai lo matlikinon b'chutz. Why are we not lighting outside? V'ein sakana. We should light outside without, and there's no sakana. V'ra'isi b'Aruch HaShulchan shekosev. And I saw that Aruch HaShulchan wrote as follows. V'zeh l'shoinen. V'inei ato ein onu madlikin b'chutz. Even though nowadays there's no sakana, mikomakam kimat hu mehamnim noos mipnei bechol hamedino shalanu yimei Chanukah heim yimei sagrir gas v'sheleg. Where we live now in Europe, it's always cold, it's always raining, it's always snowing. It's impossible to light outside. How are we going to light outside? A minute we light it, it's going to be blown out by the wind. It's going to be put out by the sheleg. So, it's impossible to light outside. Now, you'll tell me, maybe I'll take a nice glass box. Any of us who've been in Eretz Yisrael for Chanukah have seen these glass boxes. You put it in a nice glass box, and then it's fine. So, Why don't you do that? So that is the tshuva from Rav Yaakov Emden. Skip a little bit ahead to Maramokum number one. Rav Yaakov Emden was asked about the box. There's a lot of controversy about the box. Perhaps we'll have more time over Hanukkah to discuss the box. Because we know when you light the Hanukkah lich, at that moment they have to be ra'oy to stay lit for a certain amount of time. Now if I light the candles inside the box, and now the box is open. So the minute I light it, it's not ready to stay lit for a half hour. The wind's going to come blow it. The only reason it stays lit is because after I light it, I close the box. So perhaps at the moment that I lit it, it wasn't kosher Hanukkah. So there's a big controversy, which came up later, about lighting inside the box. But before we get to that, we'll discuss that another time. Before we get to that, is a person mechuyov to go out and get a box? Do we say, outside it's impossible to light, so I'm going to light inside? Or do you say, no, outside it's impossible to light because of the weather, go get a box, build a little thing that makes it possible for you to light outside. So the Yaivitz was posed with this question, and the Yaivitz says as follows. He says, it's a good minhag to build yourself a box, get yourself a box where you can light in, but I can't be matriach everyone to do it. I can't say that you're chayiv to do it. So if the weather doesn't allow for you to light outside, said the Yaivitz, it would be a nice thing for you to light outside with a box, but you're not chayiv, you could still light inside. So comes the Aruch HaShulchan in Maramakum number 8, and tells us that's probably why, even though we're no longer b'shas ha-sakana, that's probably why people are still lighting inside. Because the weather's so bad, it's not going to stay lit outside. If it's not going to stay lit outside, so then it's at like a shasa sakana, and we're allowed to light inside. Says, continuing in the Aruch HaShulchan, the efshila nicham b'chutz, the last line, we can't keep it outside. Im lo lahasgirim b'schuches, unless we close it up with some sort of glass box. V'kulei hai lo atrichuhu rabbanan. And Chazal didn't force us to do such a thing. But at the end of the day, says the Minchas Yitzchak, at the end of the day, a person who the weather is nice outside, or a person who wants to, the Iker mitzvah is still to do it outside. Let's say you're in a place where the weather is nice, or it's not going to, or you have a box. So should a person be lighting it outside, or we still prefer to do it inside? According to Aruch Shulchan, it all depends on the weather. A person certainly has the prerogative to do it outside if he wishes. And a person perhaps would be chayiv to do it outside if the weather is nice. So that's answer number one, dependent on the weather. Answer number two is also quoted by the Minchas Yitzchak in the next paragraph, where he says as follows, quoting the Shailos HaTshuva, is Imre Noah. And he says as follows. He says that there are other girsaos in the Gemara. We learned in the Gemara, Bishas HaSakana. But if you take a look in other nuschaos in Chazal, it doesn't simply say b'shas ha-sakana. It also says mipnei ha-leitzin. What are leitzin? People who make fun. Basically, people who see us following our religion, and they're going to laugh, they're going to mock us. So, says the Megillas Tainis, Megillas Tainis was a pre-Tanaim literature. It was before the Tanaim, Megillas Tainis. So in the Megillas Tainis it says that even because of Leitzim, a person is allowed to light inside. So says the Imre Noam, why are we lighting inside? Even though perhaps it is not Shasa Sakana anymore, but still there are always people who are looking to make fun of the Jews. There are always people looking to make fun of our religion, and it's going to lead to some type of anti-Semitism or some type of mockery of our religion. So that's why we still light in our time. If you look at the boldface in the next paragraph, we're just going to read the boldface because of time. V'im misyare min ha-leitzim. If you're nervous because of the scoffers, manicha pesach beso mi bifnim. Then you're allowed to put it inside also. But again, says the Minchas Yitzchak, the weather option, that helps us if you have bad weather. The leitzim, that helps us if you have leitzim. Nowadays, we have, together with the lighting of the tree in Rockefeller Center, you have the lighting of the Chanukah menorah. Right? There's no real bizyonis. Everyone has their own religion, freedom of religion. So it's hard to say that we're lighting inside nowadays because mipnei ha-leitzim. So at the end of the day, what does it come down to? Why are we lighting inside? Is a person allowed to light outside if he wants to? Is it up to the person? Does a person have to light outside? What's the optimal course of action? So this is basically where things stood until a tremendous chiddush came about from a man by the name of Rabbi Yeshua Ehrenberg. And originally, when I was planning on doing the shiur, I was planning on discussing Shuva Ehrenberg, but there's very little written about him, so I couldn't find so much about it. Shuva Ehrenberg was a Rav Adayin in Tel Aviv. And he wrote a sefer, many Choshev Svarim, one of his Svarim, many volumes called Shailos HaTshuva Dvar Yehoshua. Perhaps the most famous chiddush in the Shailos HaTshuva Dvar Yehoshua is on this topic, where he argues, not simply does a person not have to light outside nowadays, a person is not allowed to light outside nowadays, a person has to light inside. And this was his tremendous chiddush, based on the Gemara in Maseches Ksubas. Take a look at Mar Makom number 10. It says the Gemara in Maseches Ksubas. The Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Ksubas says that a woman has to get married biyom harevi'i. Chazal or Misakin, you have to get married on a Wednesday. Why? The Gemara goes through over there why Wednesday was the best day. So the Takana from Chazal was, all weddings took place on a Wednesday. Then the Gemara says, Bishas HaSakana, they stopped getting married on a Wednesday. What was Shas HaSakana? So the Gemara explains that they made a Takana, that anyone getting married on a Wednesday, they realized that all the Jewish people are getting married on Wednesday. They said, anyone that's going to get married on Wednesday has to be Boi LeHegmon Tchila. First has to have relations with some government official, and before she goes and gets married. So because of that, they said, obviously, the Takana is going to be bottle where they don't have to get married on a Wednesday anymore. Let's take a quick look at the Gemara. Ditanya, Bibne Ma Omru Besula Nise Yom Revi. Why did they say that a Besula has to get married on Wednesday? Umi Sakana Ve'Elach, from the time of a Sakana and onward. Nogua Om Lichnos Bashlishi. Then people started getting married on Tuesday. Velo Michu Beyodam. And Chachamim Chazau didn't protest. So we see another takana over here. Takana to get married on Wednesday, and takana changed because of a sakana. Comes the Shita Mikubetzes and tells us as follows. Wasn't simply changed for the time period of the sakana. Umistabra dimasnisin mashmilhu kiketani umin hasakana ve'elech nohagu ha'om lichnos b'shlishi klomar af b'shlishi v'lo michu b'yadam chachamim. Afilo shelo bishas hashmad laacher shen is batel da afilo laacher ken nohagu lichnos bein bashlishi bein revi. Says the Shita Mikubetzes, when this takana was batel, it was batel even after there was no longer a sakana anymore. So the sakana was for a certain amount of time, and they said no longer is anyone getting married on a Wednesday. But then the sakana was no longer here. They stopped the gezerah. No more sakana. So did they revert back to Wednesday? Says Shita Mikubetzes, no. When something changes because of a sakana, it changes for good. Even if the sakana is no longer facing us, it changes forever and there's no more din. That's what the Yerushalmi says in Maramakum number 12. Afal pi shebatel hashmad, even though the persecution is batel, they're no longer persecuting us, haminag lo batel, the halacha stays the same. So comes Rav Yeshua Ehrenberg. Comes the Dvar Yehoshua and he says, what do we see from this Gemara? We see when something changes because of Sakana, even if the Sakana goes away, even if the Sakana is no longer a threat anymore, the Halacha still stays the same. So he says, do you not have to light outside anymore? You're not supposed to light outside. Because of the Sakana, they changed the mitzvah, like what you're saying before. The mitzvah used to be light outside. Now they changed the mitzvah to lighting inside. And that stays regardless of whether the Sakana exists or doesn't exist. So nowadays, the takana is still based on the change that happened at the time of the sakana, and therefore the mitzvah nowadays is strictly to light inside and not to light outside. That's the Dvar Yehoshua. He says, I don't know why I'm coming to Yerushalayim. I came to Yerushalayim from Europe, from Hungary. He says, all of a sudden people are lighting outside. He says, not only do you not have to light outside, you're not allowed to light outside. You're not mekayim the mitzvah. It's a bracha levatala. They changed the takana le'olam va'et. Once there's a sakana, they changed it for all of eternity. Adbias goel tzedek. Now, there's one very... This is the psak of the Dvar Yehoshua, and it created a big rash in Yerushalayim. He says, you're not mekayim the mitzvah if you light outside. We go to Yerushalayim nowadays, most of the gedolim light outside. You're not mekayim the mitzvah. So, what was the response to Dvar Yehoshua? So, let's pick up on a nuance in the different Gemaras, which tells us everything. Take a look at the first Maramakum. What was the language of the Gemara? I have it bold-faced to make it easier. First, Mar Malkin, the Gemara in Shabbos, which is discussing the Neiros Chanukah. What does the Gemara say? Ubishas ha-sakana. And during the time of the sakana. Now, only during the time of sakana. But take a look at the Gemara that the Dvar Yeshua is coming from. The Gemara in Ksubis. There the Gemara says, na ubishas ha-sakana, Mar Malkin number 10. What does the Gemara say? Umi sakana va'elach. So, Kasher's response to the Dvar Yoshua is, how could you compare apples and oranges? You're right. In the Gemara in Ksubis, as the Shita Mikubetza says, that they changed the minog le'olam va'ed. They said, umi sakana va'elach. It's not going to revert back even once the sakana is gone. But our Gemara in Masechta Shabbos is very clear that the change in takana was only for a limited amount of time. It's bishas ha-sakana, which mashma, not misakana ve'elach, from sakana and onward, bishas ha-sakana, strictly during the time of the sakana. That was one of Rav Kasher's main arguments, that you can't compare this to the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Shabbos is saying strictly during the time of the sakana, that's when you're allowed to light inside. If it's not shas ha-sakana, then you have to go back and light outside. Now, what does this question come down to? At the end of the day, the question comes down, the fundamental question that this comes down to is what Heshi was mentioning before. And that is, what did Chazal do when they established the mitzvah of Chanukah, and what changed? When they said the mitzvah of Chanukah, did they say, l'chatchila you should light outside? There's a mitzvah to light Neiros Chanukah. L'chatchila should be outside. If you can't do it outside, come and do it inside. And then when it was a sakana, they said, you know what, don't do it outside. But you were always mekayim the mitzvah doing it inside. Or no. They said there's a mitzvah of Chanukah, and the mitzvah is strictly to light it outside. Then there was a sakana, and the mitzvah is batel. We can't do it anymore. So now they made a new mitzvah almost like a new mitzvah. They said, now we're going to make a new mitzvah to do it inside. If that's the case, so then we have a new mitzvah to do it inside. Not necessarily would that revert back automatically to the mitzvah, which was batel. Meaning, what was going on b'shas ha-sakana? Was it that it was always a mitzvah to do it inside? Just l'chatchila do it outside. So now I can't do it inside? Now I can't do it outside, I'll do it inside. Once I could do it outside again, I go back and do it outside. It's always with the mitzvah was always just to light it. Now l'chatchila I do it outside, but I'm yotzi if I do it inside. So when I could do it outside, I do it outside. If I can't do it outside, I do it inside. But there's no reason nowadays to be doing it outside just because it was Shas HaSakana. Or no, was the mitzvah always that you had to be lit outside. And then once the Shas HaSakana came, they said, okay, we can't do this mitzvah. So what are we going to do? We're going to create a separate mitzvah for Shas HaSakana to light inside. And if that's the case, so not necessarily does it revert back to the old mitzvah. Now we have a new mitzvah that they changed during Shas HaSakana. No longer is the mitzvah to light outside. The mitzvah is to light inside. So the fundamental machlok is going on between the Achronim seems to be, what did they do Shas HaSakana? Did they change the mitzvah from a mitzvah of outside to inside? And then even if the reason goes away, perhaps we would still be chayv to light inside because that's the mitzvah nowadays. Or no, they didn't change anything. The mitzvah was always to light Chanukah Menorah. The best thing is to do it outside. You're yotzi if you do it inside, but why not do it outside? Unless you can't do it outside, then you go back and do it inside. So let's just read a few lines of what Rav Kasher writes. Take a look on the first page of the Tshuva. I took most of the most important parts of the Tshuva. You could take a look. So the first lines that I underline: Umei Oshen Echnasi Lebirur Ha'inyan. Once I looked into it, Nahagti Be'atzmi Lahadlik Bifnim VeGam B'Chutz. Once I looked into the sugya, I started to be noyeg. I wasn't sure what to do. Do I have to do it inside? Do I have to do it outside? Am I allowed to do it inside? Allowed to do it outside? So he said, what I started doing is, I started doing both. I hear the tzad that I could only do it outside, and I hear the tzad that I could only do it inside. So I want to cover my bases, so I do it. He probably said a bracha once. It's unclear where he said the bracha. Right, and then he went right out to do it. I see that it's a very complicated sugya. But we know what his halacha was. Skip to the next page. Towards the bottom of the page. Actually, we'll skip this because of time. Again, on the page Shin Tes, you could see already his you could call them political tendencies based on what we read over here. Hine hirgish haritva gamken. The ritva stresses, why are we keeping this minog of bishasa sakano Anu bigalos kemosha kosava orchas chayim. Move the kamav is emotzi eretz Yisrael bizmanenu. What is what he says? Rav Kasha, he says that the Rishonim say this is specifically for Golus, but eretz Yisrael bizmanenu, we're not in Golus anymore. A big chiddush. Many would still say we're still in Golus. Perhaps we have eretz Yisrael, but we don't have the geula shlema. But you already see that he is saying no. The Golus, we could already consider our state in eretz Yisrael as not longer in the state of Golus. Therefore, that's another reason to go back to the original. The original halacha, the original mitzvah. Skip the next page, Shin Yud Aleph. Actually, skip it all the way to Shin Yud Ches. We have two more minutes. We'll just read the summary, and you can look at the rest on your own if you're interested. Shin Yud Ches, the last page, says Rav Kasher as follows. Ula maskana nira baruch. Shebe Eretz Yisrael bizman hazeh, Eretz Yisrael this time, these days, mi shebe yecholto, someone who is able, yiknilo ashashis, should buy a glass case, kedei lakayim mitzvahs pirsum neis Chanukah, to be mekayim the mitzvah of Chanukah, lahadlik b'chutz, and to light outside, ke ikar takonas chachamim. Umatzasi yisod ledavar bedivrei, echa min haposkim hu ha-ra'ah, and this is what the ra'ah says, v'achshav begolosh, now that we are in Golus, we have to light inside. That's what the Ra'ah says. And it says Rav Kasher in the next paragraph, Hare Shehirgish B'derech Klav V'Achshav B'Golus. He's saying specifically because we're in Golus. Klomar B'Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. B'chol Makom P'turim L'Hadlik B'Chutz. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, they don't have to light outside. They can light inside. K'moshe V'Esi La'el M'Megilas Tainis. But nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, he says, nowadays it is as if the Golus is over and we're able to light outside, and that's what he recommends. So again, just to sum up, it seems like from the Gemara, most of the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, that it's specifically during the time of Shasa Sakana, and we have to scrape for reasons why we're allowed to be lighting inside, either because of the weather, or because we're nervous the Goyim are going to make fun of us, or because we're nervously, whatever the reason might be, we're nervous the weather's going to put it out. But it seems like me'ikar adim, we should be lighting outside. Comes the tremendous chiddush of the Dvar Yehoshua, Yehoshua Ehrenberg, who says, no, you got it all wrong. Once they change the halacha, it's a new mitzvah. The mitzvah is no longer to be lighting outside. The mitzvah is now to be lighting inside, and not simply do you not have to light outside. You can't light outside. You're not, you became the mitzvah, and that's how the halacha stands now. That is probably the minhag in Chutz La'aretz, it's certainly to light inside, while the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is quickly becoming to light outside, as most poskim paskin over there, that one should certainly light outside. Thank you very much. Everyone have a freilich and Chanukah.
What do you say? It's also, according to him, in Chutz La'aretz, it's not possible to do it outside. He's just saying it's goal.